Colossians 1, 21 through 23, these are God's words. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Way back in verse 13 into verse 14, God, or the apostle had talked about God transferring us or conveying us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And that's how the Lord Jesus was described, the Son of His love, the one who with the Father and the Spirit has lived and reigned in mutual adoration and mutual affection, the love that is in God for all eternity, from all eternity. And he said, the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And now he returns to that. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. And so there's this amazing truth that this entire section of Colossians chapter 1 is rejoicing over, and that is that the eternal Son, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, now has flesh and blood. Flesh in which we are reconciled, or through which we are reconciled, in the verses 21 and 22 especially, in our passage this morning, and blood through which we were redeemed, through which we were purchased by means of the forgiveness of sins, back in verse 14. Now between that verse 14 and verse 21, which we are in today, if we were just to read it, it would just take a few seconds, probably not even a minute. But for us, it's been several weeks of study. Why? Because verses 15 through 20 are so full of Jesus being God, and the Lord displaying that His Son is God in creation, and the Lord displaying that His Son is God in redemption and in the church. The Lord making us to dwell upon the Lord Jesus as God, as the one in whom all the fullness dwells, so there's no provision in anyone else, and the one in whom alone there is reconciliation for anyone, anywhere. And so there's no provision anywhere else, there's no reconciliation anywhere else. So that brings us back to the thought or the reality of our redemption being in the Son of His love. And in verses 21 to 23, which we have before us this morning, he brings us to think about our past, our present, and our future. The past from which we were redeemed, our present as those who have been redeemed and what the Lord is doing in our lives now, and our future as those whose redemption will be completed. And the means by which the Lord brings us to that completion. So if you believe in Jesus, that's glorious, but your past is something horrible. Because even if you are part of the church and you had His mark on you as set apart to Him as holy, yet, until you come to faith in Jesus Christ, in your heart, in your mind, in your actions, you are a foreigner, a stranger to Jesus, and even worse than a stranger, an enemy. So he's writing to the Colossians. He's called them saints. There wouldn't be a lot of covenant children, those who actually began as part of the church in Colossae. But what is true for all of them is you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. And that's something that if you aren't trusting in Christ and loving him and living for him, is still true today, which would be a horrible thing, and is what we pray for you to be delivered from. That's why we give instruction. That's why we give discipline, because these are the means by which the God who saves you through Christ, who saves you in Christ, brings you to repentance and faith, as through the means of grace, family worship every day in the home, and public worship on the Lord's Day, and those other things that he has told us to do, that we who trust in him to do the work, do it. Because if he doesn't give you a new heart and a new mind, then you will be strangers and enemies of him in your heart forever. But the one who has put his sign on your head, the one who has made you part of his church, he promises that he does this redeeming work by the means that we are attending upon. Even now, as I try to explain to you his word, and we've asked his Holy Spirit to help us, that we would believe. If we are believers already, and we read this about our past, we rejoice. We say, look at how much God loved me. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And not just how much God loved me then, but how much he must love me now, later in Romans 5. If while we were his enemies, we were justified through the blood of Jesus Christ, how much more now that we have been reconciled, does God love us, and shall we yet be saved? Shall the rest of our redemption be completed? And so here in verse 21 and part of 22 there, and in Romans 5, and even in the daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, and you see the love of Jesus for his enemies in Luke 23, and in Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and you see the love of Jesus for his enemies. When we look at the past of what we were apart from and before God's grace converted us, brought us to repentance, brought us to faith, we see how glorious the saving love and saving power, saving grace, mercy of God has been towards us. So that's our past. You who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. That's the present. You are reconciled to God. He is for you. He's given you a new nature. He has declared you righteous. So now, not only do you have the external sign as part of his church that is on you, and the name of a Christian, but you have the heart of a Christian and the mind of a Christian and the relationship in your soul with God of a Christian. And if you have those things, then you are no longer hostile to his righteousness, his law, his holiness. You're hostile to your sin. The sin is still there, but you've been reconciled to God, which means now you've got a new enemy. And you and your new friend, who has loved you and has loved you that everlasting love, but now he has brought you into loving him, you, for his sake, want to be holy. And so that's the present of the Christian. Someone whose past was enmity against God in our hearts, but now is friendship toward God in your heart, so that whenever you sin against him, it grieves you. And whenever you have opportunity to serve him and obey him, it delights you. And you are growing in those things. And he is making you holy in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So now you're defining what is good and right by what God says is good and right. The holiness is what he says holiness. It's holiness in his sight. Blamelessness is blamelessness in his sight. Being above reproach is being above reproach in his sight. No longer are we his enemies. The person who wants to define himself, what it means to be holy or what it means to be righteous, is an enemy of God, because part of God's rights as God is to define what is good, to define what is righteous. Now, you have come to say, not, I hate God's commandments, or I don't want anything to do with God's commandments, but how I love your law, O Lord, and that the commandment is holy and righteous and good, the way the apostle describes the commandment in Romans 7, even while he's hating his sin. And so that's our present. Our past was enmity with God. Our present is having been justified, having been brought to faith, loving him, loving his law, wanting to be holy, and our future is success in those things. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard. So, our future, when we come into glory, when we are made blameless and holy, you know how we get there? The same way that we came to be made friends toward God, to love him with our heart and mind, through faith and hope. There is not in the Christian life a beginning by trusting God and depending upon him and living by faith and hope. And then after that, some point at which we've been made good enough that we kind of take the training wheels off and don't depend upon God anymore, or depend upon him even a little bit less. No. If indeed you continue in the faith, in dependence upon him, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So you never stop hoping. You never stop resting upon him. You never come into a condition where you are less needy of God. That's just not true of genuine Christians. The ones who come to the end and are holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight are ones who, from beginning to end, are holy and blameless and above reproach by faith, walking by faith, as Romans 1 says. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, that is not just from faith, but for faith, or as some translations paraphrase fairly well, by faith from start to finish. So if indeed you continue in faith, in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, there's no other gospel for anyone else. This is the only gospel. This is the only way that enemies of God are made lovers of God, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. It's the gospel that the apostle preaches and that the Holy Spirit carried him along to write so that we could study it. So there's our past, our present, and our future, and all of it points to dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Eternal Son, who now has flesh and blood by which we might be forgiven, reconciled to God, having redemption and peace, which we have already now. Now, verse 21, he has reconciled. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for setting before us, as we look to you in Christ, our past, present, and future. Pray for any of my children who might not yet have trusted in Christ, come to a place of loving you and loving to please you by the means that you have appointed. I pray that you would fulfill the promises declared in your sign upon them and bring an end to the enmity. Make them love you the way you have loved your elect from everlasting. And will to everlasting. We pray that you would make us continually to be amazed freshly and newly at how you loved us when we were in our hearts and our actions enemies to you. Help us to rejoice at having been brought to love you, to marvel that such a work has already been done in our hearts and that we're already declared righteous in Jesus. Make us to live as those who rejoice over our current status with you and before you. And make us to walk by faith and dependence upon you. That we would rejoice that you still love us, that you continue to love us and continue to carry us and save us. And we pray that you would bring us at last into glory in which our love for you will have been perfected, our holiness will have been perfected. Thank you for this word that you gave to us, this family, on this day. Grant that your Spirit would bless it to us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.